Yeah, they're all free.
Wow.
Somebody was chewing off a big snapping turtle off the road up here when I came.
I saw that.
Really?
Yeah, they were getting it.
I saw
them. Oh, how nice. Oh, biggie. A biggin. Seven types of meat in a snapping turtle. Okay, she says, it's good to know I ain't eating it. So, anyhow, we ain't going to talk about eating snapping turtles right now because we have a promise from God. Again, we're entering in, which I believe the next four chapters before the persecution of Christ comes, these next four weeks of Jesus' teaching about how he's made a place for us, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes to the Father but through him. He's teaching this while he's still at the Last Supper. They haven't gone out because after this teaching, he says, let's go hence. That's the end of chapter 14. So right now, they're still in the upper room. All right, they're still part of the Seder feast. They're still doing those things. Judas has already gone out to betray him. He said, what you do, go and do quickly. And when he sopped, which we talked about sopping, and by the way, I talked about sopping last week, and I guess some folks heard it, and they're trying to tell me how bad it is for you to eat grease and bread. You got to die of something. I'm going to die fat and happy. I'm going to die sopping grease and bread.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, amen. It is good for you. It's good. Yeah, amen. You know? And so those folks who don't want me to eat it, well, I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. Jesus sopped, and then so sopping's good. It's good stuff. It was Bean. Steve, because he listens to this, and so he'll hear it. He'll hear his name being talked. And so, but you know, he does work at a funeral home. I told him, if I keep doing it, I'll come meet you quicker. You can get that $25 faster, you know. And so anyhow, but Jesus had sopped with Judas and gave him the sop that he sopped with. And he said, what you must do, go and do quickly. And then Judas left to go and betray Christ. And so that's where we're at. And after he left, and they're still in the upper room, and Jesus said to them, chapter 14, and so he had just told Peter that he's going to deny Christ three times before the cock crows, that he's going to deny him, that before the chicken never crows, before the cock crows in the morning, you say that you're willing to die for me, but you're going to betray me. You're going to deny me three times. So he's still talking to Peter here in verse chapter 14. He's talking to everybody, but he says this, I think he's still in a close conversation with Peter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. All right, so he's talking this. Thomas is about ready to answer him. What's some great hope I have in this right here? Now remember, the conversation, he's talking with Peter personally, and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Yeah, Peter, you're going to deny me. How many times in our life from day to day do we fall short of what God is expecting of us? Mm-hmm. Don't let your heart be troubled. All right, you believe in God? I love that he says, if you believe in the creation, if you believe in the God who created all things, believe in Christ also. Yeah. They are one in the same. All right, so if you have faith in the very beginning, God said, you believe that, you can believe in Jesus Christ. If nothing else, as he's going to talk about this here in a moment, that at least believe the works that I did. You know, the works that Jesus did. Now, they had just seen him feed 4,000, feed 5,000, raise Lazarus from the dead. Right? All these things are so fresh in their mind. We're talking just months, all right? Maybe weeks before this happens. All these things just bam, one after another, whack, whack, whack. And it all started coming together. I love it that God says that there's many mansions.
Other translations say dwelling places. Well, I don't want to be in just a dwelling place. Dwelling place could mean the bathroom. It could mean a closet. It could mean in the basement. No, these are mansions. It is greater and more wonderful than anything else you can fathom. Now, when you think of mansion like Graceland, you know, Elvis Presley's house, or you think of some of these big mansions that block out the sun, no, this is made by God. In fact, it's the kingdom that's coming, right? Jesus is going and he's preparing the kingdom of God, the bride of Christ, when it comes down, the new Jerusalem. That's the mansion we're going to be living in. That's where we're going to be pillars in the house of God, never to go in or never to go out again by the grace of God. And we can look at that mansion just real quick, just in the Revelation, just to get us a thought of it. And so, let's see, where's a good place to talk about it? Okay, so in 21 and 10, and John speaking here, John the Apostle, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, like even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a great wall and high, and 12 gates. And the 12 gates, 12 angels, and the and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gate, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city layeth fourth square, and its length is as high as his breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length of breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel, of the angel. And the building thereof, the walls was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Oh, is she? I was wondering. She's digging a
nest.
Oh, she's making a nest. Okay. She's trying to make a mansion there. So now get your mind. This is what God is preparing for us. This is what he was telling John, or Peter, right, in the Apostle of John. And the foundations of the walls were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third
chalcedony,
and the fourth emerald, the fifth was sardonyx, and the sixth was sardust, the seventh was chrysolite, and the eighth was beryl, and the ninth was topaz, and the tenth was this other thing, crystallophysis, 11th was jacinthine, and the 12th was amethyst. I don't know what all those stones look like, but I'm pretty sure they're pretty glittery. They're amazing.
You can look them up.
Yeah.
Earth's,
yes. Earth's view of them. Well, again, those gates that he's talking about are made out of fashioned out of a single pearl.
Each one.
And how many of y'all have seen pearls? What's the biggest pearl you've ever seen? Maybe the size of your thumb?
My daughter.
Oh, yeah, there you, my daughter. Right? So Jesus is telling you, if you believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I'm going to prepare a place, I'm going to come back, and where I am, there you'll be with me. You're going to be right here. Streets of pure gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, angelic hosts with names written on them, guarding the 12 entrances into the bride, to the holy Jerusalem. And God's preparing us a place there. Don't think of it like a dwelling place. This is much, much, much more than a dwelling place. It is so fantastic what God is building. And you know what the main thing that he's building there in it? us. We are going to be part of that celestial city that comes down from God. It's not only are we going to be there, we're going to be basking in the glory of God that's in that city. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare. This is a mansion. Those other translations of the Bible that dumb it down and make it seem like it's something less than what it really is.
It talks about us being pillars.
Yeah, amen. Talks about us being pillars. We are pillars in the most in that city, and so I'm not going to finish reading all of the. Well, I might as well. I'm right here, right at it. And I, all right. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. This is verse 21. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. All right. I've seen a lot of gold. I've never seen gold that you could see through. Gold that's transparent glass. So I cannot fathom the glory of this city. And Jesus said, if you believed in the Father, believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place. And this is the spot. This is what he's preparing. Who wants to be part of that? Ooh, I do. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and their honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no need, there shall be no night there. All right. Did you just catch it? Just day, no night. Just day. So, when you're in the glory of God, there is no darkness at all. In him, there is no darkness at all. Right? And so, and they shall bring unto the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Ooh, wow, you can't not do this. And he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded their fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Oh, man, this is what God's preparing for you. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And I'm going to put one more ever in there. Glory to God. So when those other translations say, it's just a dwelling place, bring them to 2021. Bring them to chapter 21 and 22. And in the Revelation. Because I'm telling you, folks, it is way more than just a dwelling place. It is where the very throne of God is. And that river of pure water and the trees that bear their fruit, for the leaves for the healing of the nations.
That's Ezekiel 47.
Amen. That's Ezekiel 47. It is the blessed God. And so no matter what's happening in this world, right, the other things that are going on right now, we're worried about Kamala being president, or Trump being president, or Kennedy being president, or Jack and Jill being president, or Bill and Jane, or Humpty Doo and Humpty Diddle.
We're running out of gas.
Amen.
We're just just about out of gas.
Well, when we run out of gas, then God fills the tank with something different and better. Right. Amen? And it's not an electric car.
I mean, when
all right.
The Bible says mansion, and the other Bible say dwelling place.
Yes.
One is so...
yeah.
So rudimentary. You can't even compare.
Yeah.
What does mansion mean?
Right.
How does the grandeur of a mansion compare
to a dwelling place?
That's when you read the King James
yes.
Bible, it's how do I put it? It's royal.
Yes.
There's a royalty about it that the other Bibles
don't. That they don't have. Well, they take the deity of God out of the Bible and they put the deity of man over the deity of God. So, and they call it ESV or NI, name some of the other letters. So as I just finished reading what is promised to us, I'm going to go back to verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Don't sweat the election. Don't sweat the COVID thing. Don't sweat the wickedness of this, the evil of this planet. Don't sweat these things. God's preparing for us a place. And I'm going to do what I need to do to get there. And you know what I need to do? Love the Lord with all my heart. All right? Surrender my life to His life. Rest underneath His all-powerful compassion and charity that He has for humankind. Rest underneath that. Walk in His light, in His righteousness. Eschew evil, right? And ensue righteousness, right? So I'm going to eschew, that means get out, all right? And then I'm going to put on. I'm going to put off evil, I'm going to put on righteousness. How often? As many times as it comes to my mind in the day, right? And I hope that it comes to my mind continually, every day, all the day long. I don't have to worry about it. In my Father's house are many, many mansions. Yeah, think about that. It was 1,200 furloins or whatever, right? I'm not really certain how long a furloin is, but from what I have heard, and they say that it's like 1,500 miles square, all right? So 1,500 miles would be from New York to Florida, from Florida to Texas, and then back up and make a square.
And then 1,500 miles
high.
And then the walls are 75 yards thick.
Thick, yeah.
It's the thickness of the wall.
Yeah.
You thought 75 yards.
And hey, if God needs to build walls, I think we need to build one too. Yeah. So no evil can come in, right? Anyhow, it's just a little thing that I threw out there. The walls of this earth cannot compare to the walls of... And pearls out of one pearl that's 1,500 miles tall.
Well, there's three.
And there's three. Yeah.
Three on each wall.
Three on each wall.
I don't know how big they are, but they're big.
Yeah, they're big, right? Those gates are big.
And you know, it starts off in the start of chapter 21, there, the verse, John says, and I saw.
Yeah.
A new heaven.
A new heaven and a new earth. And the old things, read it on.
The first heaven and the first earth were passed away.
Right.
You see, that's why I always had a question.
Yeah.
It was passed away.
Right.
And there was no more sea.
Amen.
No more sea.
Yeah.
This is new.
Yeah. Brand spanking new.
When New Jerusalem descends.
Yes.
This is after the great white throne judgment.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when everything is clean.
Yeah.
After,
where it says, in Peter, I burn with a fervent heat.
Yep.
You know, this is after that. This is after the purifying fire.
Right.
And when that happens, oh man.
After 1,000 year millennial
reign. Right.
After
1,000 year
millennial reign. Everything is termed, everything.
Comes
to a final.
Yes. It boils to a head.
It's all purified.
Yeah.
You know.
And so, so I'm really excited about the times that we're living in. Now, are they going to get rough? Amen. Yes, they're going to get rough. There'll be 3.5 years of tribulation on this earth that we cannot wrap our minds around.
Darkest night is right before the
Lord. Amen. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And then there will be, then Satan's going to be cast down. Then there will be 1,000 years of peace on the earth. And then God's going to come back and he's going to, I know we have a different teacher that teaches different things. All right. You know, but what I see in the Bible, right, and I know if he were here, he'd be arguing with me and all that kind of stuff. I can't get into all that right now. The thing is what, when we get to the other side of it, I'll tell you for sure. Because right now I see through, I see through a glass dimly right now. But I have a promise from God that he's building me a mansion. He's building me a place.
1,000-year reign.
Yep.
And then after that, Satan is loosed.
Right, for a short season. Yep.
That part we don't.
Right.
I mean, there's things we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the length of time he's released for.
Yeah. It just says a short season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know what that is.
And then at some point, the last day.
Yeah.
That's the last day.
And the last day is the last day.
Yeah.
There is no other stuff about it. And so anyhow, trying to get away from poking the bear too much, you know, because we do have some folks who have some different understandings about that. That's cool. You know, I'm not going to throw stones at nobody about that. You want to believe that, you can. It's because it ain't going to send you to hell. It'll all work out. We will see it a little further down the line, right? And so far as what I can tell right now, what I need to know is that Jesus is building a mansion for me there. It's not here. That's where he tells us in Matthew 6:33 to seek the Lord. Seek the kingdom of the Lord. You know, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what I'm seeking. I'm not overly concerned about the political scene. I'm not overly concerned about the stock market collapsing and rising, collapsing and rising. I'm not concerned about the mark of the beast, you know. Is it going to happen? Am I going to see it? I do believe I will see it. I do believe, I really do. I think that that's going to be part of it before the millennial reign of Christ comes. I believe that I'm going to see the Antichrist rise up. I believe I'm going to see some temple, sacrificial system start over in Israel. I believe that I'm going to see the two witnesses, and I'm going to see them killed, right? And
I've seen that exciting days.
Yeah.
These are days.
And we're watching evil rise. Yeah. I mean, not only was it like the days of Noah, it was also like the days of Sodom.
Yes.
Right? So you got to remember the influences. We talked about that this morning. The influences of both of those times. In Noah's time, men were doing what was right in their own eyes. Now, I'm not going to get into the sons of God breeding with men, they're giants and men of renown. We know that. But the men that were not the men of renown, the ones that were not inbreeded angelic host, their heart was continually on evil. The regular farmer, his heart was continually on evil, right? And the other stuff to the side, all right, not that it isn't important. The days of Lot. Right? The wickedness of even the children of Lot. I know that Lot's in the book of faith, and it tells us in 1 Peter that he was a righteous man, and his heart was vexed because of the things. But he offered up his daughters to be brutally raped by the townspeople instead of saying the angels have power to fight over it. And I understand what people teach. I'm sorry I'm jumping off on this so hard. But from what I was taught through Liberty Bible Institute is that was the tradition. If you came into a man's house, right, you're protected, and he would do whatever. Kevin, if you come to my house, somebody wanted to take you out of my house, and I had two virgin daughters in my house, you're out the door, buddy. You know? Yeah. I mean, my kids are standing. I'm getting my shotgun. We're standing there. We're fighting to the death.
That's right.
All right? And if you happen to be an angelic host, you do what you need to do, buddy.
Yep.
You know? But I'm not sending my daughters out there.
No.
You know? And so, and they didn't have to. You know, the angels pushed Lot and his daughters back in, and they blinded the men. You know, and they wandered around all night. And then he had to tell, well, we all know the account, right? So anyhow, even in all those things, Jesus is preparing me a mansion. Amen. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. And he's going to prepare me a place. And he says, I will come again, verse 3, that and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When Jesus rose from the grave and he went to the Father, right? Came back down for 50 days for the end of Pentecost. And then he went back to the Father. And when he went back to the Father, he is still with the Father at the right hand of the Father. The Father, he is in the Father and we are in him. So I'm already seated in this house of glory. Although my body's here, my heart, my life, my all is there. That's why I'm looking for that. That's my real home. This isn't. This little spot on the earth where we're at, this little bit of wickedness where a man boxer can beat up a woman boxer in the Olympics. I could care less.
It's sickening.
It's sickening. It is. It's sickening. But I believe that although I'm compassionate about it, my heart's concern for them is them getting right with God. Because when Noah was watching all of this stuff and the heart of every man that was around him was continually on evil, Noah was doing that. Lot's heart was vexed because of the wickedness of the city. It's not that I'm not heartbroken for the lost, but I have a promise from God that he's building me a place. I have a promise from God that he's going to come again and call me to be where he is. I have an instruction from God to believe on the Son as he is the Father. You believed in the Father, believe ye also in me. So my faith is not here. Go ahead, brother.
And I mean that's 1,000% true, Curtis. But yeah. In the meantime, we're to be in his will for our lives and to finish the work. The last thing he said right before he gave up the ghost is, it is finished.
Right.
So you say, well, what is finished? The work that was prepared from the foundation of the world,
yeah,
by his Father. Well, we have work to do too.
Right.
Not for our salvation, but so kingdom-minded, but finish the work that he has for us here.
We're told to occupy until he comes. In his will. So
in
occupy until he comes. That means we're here as light in darkness.
That's right.
All right. This is not my home. This is not my world. This is not my promise.
Nope.
I'm not promised this earth. Not this earth. The new earth I'm promised.
Yep.
This earth is going to burn with a fervent heat.
Amen.
And when it is purified, I'll come back with you. Okay? But until then, this ain't my home. And this is, you know, that old Jim Croce song, New York's not my home? Right? Well, this earth is not my home. I have a kingdom, I have a mansion, I have a place, and Jesus said, I'm going to prepare you that place, I'm going to come again, I'm going to get you. So I'm going to do what I need to do, I'm going to believe in the Father, I'm going to believe in the Son, I'm going to love the brethren, and I'm going to have compassion for the lost until he comes. I'm going to occupy until he comes.
Yeah.
Right? And that's doing the things that we're supposed to do. That's, you know, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
You know, so not that works save you. All right, I could jump off on a different springing board, but you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith. Or faith through,
those works,
yeah,
are
manifested.
Yeah,
through,
yeah,
faith.
By grace through faith. Amen. And so when as Jesus was telling them this, where I am, there ye may also be, or there ye may be also. Verse 4, and whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I love this. All right? You may be confused about a lot of stuff, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you would have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Ooh. Okay. So you talk to a lot of the folks who read those other translations of the Bible, and they'll say, Jesus never said that he was God. Well, wait a second. Jesus just said, if you'd seen the Son, you've seen the Father. You know what that tells me? He's God. That's exactly what he just said. I mean, yeah, amen. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And so, and Philip, right, so they're still in the upper room here. He's talking to the boys, right? He's talking to Peter. Thomas says, listen, I love what you're saying, dude, but I don't know how to get there. Jesus says, you get there through me. All right, follow me. Do what I say. Walk the way I walk. Trust me. And do those things, and you'll wind up there. You know, the only way you're going to get to the Father is through me. And then you've seen the Father because you've seen me. Because I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. Right? And so, Phil saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. All right. You know, I know that...
That's the type of question I'd ask.
Yeah, right.
Right on time.
You know what I see?
Really?
Is Mo grabbing Shim and going...
Yeah, that's right. I wish I hadn't said that.
Wise guy. You know, poke, boink, right? And so, he gets right in his face. He does this with compassion. I do it with a different passion, right? I do it with a different
timing
thought.
Timing was
yeah, not right. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father.
He says it again.
Amen. So that's twice in the same, before they even get out of the room. Thou then show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake.
Man, he's just nailing it down. He's just nailing it down.
All right, so Phil, you can't quite, you don't have the faith to understand.
Yep.
At least remember how I fed 5,000. Remember how I fed 4,000. Remember how I just raised Lazarus from the dead. Remember how I just spit in the ground and made dirt balls and stuck it in a man's eye and eyeballs grew in it. If nothing else, believe that. And when the men wanted to destroy me, wanted to kill me, I just walked through them and they didn't even see me. Phil, come on. At least believe in the works. I have never seen the Father. I've never seen the Son. But I have experienced God within my life. I've experienced God within Joshua's life. Amen. He and I have Justin's life. I've seen it. And these are the men that I've walked with. My wife, my goodness. When we first started dating, started getting married, she said, I don't mind going to church, but I don't want to go all the time. She's a pastor's wife now. Now you live by the church. You know.
At least she's honest.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to...
I have seen God work in our lives. I can't even tell you how many hundreds of times that God has intervened in our lives and just preserved things. You know, he knows how to put up preserves. And so, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, verse 12, and the works that I do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right? That is a period, but the thought keeps going on. All right? I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. All right? I leave you not comfortless, but I come to you. I had this discussion in men's group last night. Before I see places in the scripture where the Spirit of God would come
and anoint you for a thing to do, right? And then when you sinned against him, the Spirit would leave. Saul lost the Spirit of God, right? He lost the Holy Spirit when he disobeyed the Lord. And he didn't even know it was God. Samson lost the Spirit of God, and he didn't even know it was God. I mean, he was, and I think God was very merciful with him because he was, like, doing some things he ought not have been doing. You know,
and
he's in Hebrews, in the Hall of Faith, right?
One more time.
Amen. For my eyes' sake.
Yes.
And then he killed more Philistines on that day than any other day. But where he lost his power was when he trusted somebody else besides God. And he laid his head in the lap of Delilah and said, give me a trim.
Yep.
You know, she cut his hair off. And he lost the Spirit of God. And when he woke up, he didn't even know that it was God.
You know, it's in those seven...
Yeah.
Seven locks.
Seven spirits of God.
Spirit.
They
were cut.
Yeah.
And he was weak.
And he was weak, like any other man. You know? Before that, he ripped the gates of the city up and went like 75 miles with them on his back, maybe longer than that. You know? And then in his spare time, he caught a bunch of foxes and tied their tails together. All right, guys, have you ever tried to catch a fox? How about just a chipmunk? All right? I mean, barehanded, run out and catch you a chipmunk. He don't even try to bite you. Right? Anyhow, but so here it says that he's the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive it because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Up until that time, although the apostles were around the Spirit of God because Jesus was there, the Spirit of God had not entered them yet. All right? That didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. All right? When the Spirit of God came down as tongues of fire over top of each of their, and they all spoke in tongues, known tongues. This wasn't just some language. It was known languages because people from all over the known world heard the gospel of God in their mother tongue. All right? And you've heard me say this every time I talk about this, I say the same thing, so shouldn't be a shock to you. I think the greatest miracle wasn't that they spoke in tongues, it's that anybody heard anything. You got 120 people in the upper room. You got thousands of people on the ground. No microphones. Right? No way to amplify your voice. The people up there, they're all speaking at least 120 different languages. Right? There's a list of them, but we know that there's 120 people that were speaking in tongues that they had not practiced. They were all Galileans. They're speaking in that. And people in the crowd, tens of thousands of them down there, every man heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, in their mother tongue, their mother language. I think that's God. I mean, God moving over a crowd. Man, we can back up and catch a lot of this next week again. Because this teaching is so important. And well, I'll finish what Jesus was saying right here, and then we'll call it a night. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also, that at that day ye shall know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, because he was doing something else, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode in him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings,
And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard that I have said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go away unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not speak much unto you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That is, I mean, what I've just read, I'm just skimming through this. We're going to come back next week because there is too much here, and I don't have the time, but I wanted to get it out, all right? But he that is, but he that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. All right, so they're still in the upper room. So I wanted to get to that point because that's where I started. These teachings, this mere 31 verses that we just went over is packed full of so much hope, so many promises. So when I surrendered to God and that cloven tongue, now I wasn't in the upper room with the 120, but the cloven tongue, the Holy Ghost fell on me and entered into me, and I became a new person. How do I know the way? Because I know Jesus. How do I know Jesus? Because the Father sent the Comforter, because I believed in the name of the only begotten Son. The same way that you have the Comforter. The same way, Bonnie, that you have the Comforter. You have the truth, Kevin. You have the truth, Dave. Right? You have these things, not because you earn them, because you're good enough for them, but because God loves you so much that he sent them to you. And he said, we will make our abode in you. That had never been done, ever.
It's the mystery.
It is the mystery. Amen. Now, I'm sure if we were talking to some folks, that I'd have an argument there. Well, it happened to one guy one time. All right, and you'd probably come up with that. I mean, Elijah, right? He had the Spirit of God, right, on him. And
he walked with God.
And he walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Noah, Methuselah, right? We could talk about a lot of people, but the office of the Holy Spirit, not that the Holy Spirit changed, but in the new covenant, the whole covenant changed, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
It's no longer about the blood of goats. I said goats and bulls, that's boats at the same time.
Yes.
Goats and bulls, but it's by the blood of Jesus Christ, all right? That's the new covenant. And in that new covenant, I have a new promise. Not only is the Holy Spirit with me, he is in me.
Yes.
And he is in my heart. He abides in me. Yes.
Which was a mystery.
Which was a mystery.
Christ in you.
Yes.
Hope of glory.
The hope of glory. That was a mystery in the Old Testament.
That's a mystery.
Right? Because he would, I hate to keep saying his office, but I don't know if I have another word for it.
Yeah.
Right? His office has always been the same. He is one with the Father, one with the Son. He's the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. His job description changed, right? His job description changed. No longer would he just come with me. You know, he comes in me. Mm-hmm. He abides in me.
You are the temple.
I am now the temple of the living God.
Well, that was the new covenant.
Yes.
I mean, that wasn't put in the old covenant was faith in God and then really the Ten Commandments. I mean,
yes.
They had all the other ordinances, but I mean, Abraham, he had faith in God. He believed in God.
And God
so
accounted that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the, not that there's a level, but that was him being saved.
Yes.
His faith
yeah.
in God and obeying God's word.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the new covenant, God did away with the law.
How does God count us righteous?
Through his son.
Through his son.
Jesus.
But, I mean, does he do that for everybody? Yes and no. Okay. It's available for everybody, but not
amen. For everybody.
Amen. But you've got to believe it.
Yeah, if you don't accept the gift,
yeah,
then he paid for it, but you didn't accept the
right,
gift.
Right, exactly. You know?
The outworking of God's Holy Spirit is going to produce works
yes,
in your life.
It will.
And if there's mm-hmm. nothing in your life, you need to
go back to step
yourself.
One. Yeah. Right. Go right. back and seek the Lord with all your heart.
Right.
And you can find God, or
right.
God will find you.
He
yeah.
says, those that are mine hear my voice.
Yeah. And,
so
and he leads them.
If you don't read God's Word, I'm not saying every day all the time, but if someone doesn't spend time reading God's Word, well, what voice are they hearing?
Yeah.
Are they hearing God's voice? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. But we'll pick up next week, and we're probably going to pick up back in verse 9 and work our way from 9 forward again, because there's just so much in that about believing. Do you believe in the Father? You know? And,
it's not as packed.
Oh, it is. And before we get to abiding in chapter 15, right, that's another huge teaching of Jesus, the abiding, us abiding in him, right? He just said that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is going to abide in you. Now you have to abide in him while he's abiding in you, right? And then there'll be works, you'll bear much fruit anyhow. It's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Got something, Dave?
No, I was just itching, man.
Okay. Just got scratched. And so
scratch.
All right. Well, praise God. Dear Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for your word. I thank you for the time that we had tonight, Lord Jesus. And I ask that we would go home like good Bereans and we would check to see if these things are true. Lord, help us to search the Scripture diligently, Father, and that we would be men and women of honor, Lord, that that you would be glorified. Help us to search these things out to find the truth of your promise, Lord, that is held for your people. And Lord, I thank you. I praise you for that. I pray for the folks that are missing tonight. I just lift them up before your throne. Strengthen them with the Holy Spirit, Father, and speak to them with these tones of love that you've spoken with us tonight. And Lord, we thank you, and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.